We've already sung a couple of songs that reflect the fact that we walk with the Lord. O Master, let me walk with Thee, number 65. And then 665, walk with me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verses 14 through 18, we also read about this in other places that we'll look at in just a moment. In verse 16, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Indeed, in a way that we look at it, we do walk with the Lord. The title of the lesson today is Live Like You Are Walking with the Lord. Also, turn your Bibles with me this morning over to John chapter 17. And I want to just talk about this for just a moment. John chapter 17 and beginning in verse 20. John chapter 17 beginning in verse 20. Here is Jesus as he is praying to God just moments before he'll be betrayed, and then later in the morning he'll be scourged and crucified. Verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And indeed, we are one with God. We are one with Jesus Christ. We are a temple of God. God dwells among us, and therefore we are walking with the Lord. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. And this word walk talks about a manner of life. And we are walking in Christ Jesus. We are in union with Him. We are in harmony with His will. We are walking with Jesus Christ. Also, turn your Bible back a couple of chapters to John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and in verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. That we are living in Christ Jesus and we are walking with the Lord. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Finally, turn your Bibles over to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4 as Jesus is speaking in this revelation to the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. Speaking to them, he says, but you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. This is the goal of all of us, to be with Jesus Christ in eternity and to walk with Him. Well, what does it mean to walk with the Lord? I want to suggest to you this morning that to walk with the Lord is to walk according to the Spirit. I want you to notice a few things. First of all, from the book of Romans, then from the book of Colossians. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 through 5. The Apostle Paul says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we've been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And what is this newness of life? What is to walk in this newness of life? It is to walk with the Lord. It is to walk with our God. It's to walk with our Savior as we are one with them, as they have come and made their abode with us. And it is, as the Apostle Paul explains to us in Romans chapter 8, it is to walk according to the Spirit. Turn your Bibles there, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do. Now, the Apostle Paul has explained what this law could not do. I believe, as I understand Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, I understand Paul in these verses in chapter 7 to explain the weaknesses that he had without Jesus Christ. Verse 14 of chapter 7, "Now we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate." And what is Paul saying there? He is saying without Christ, as he was living under the law, that without Christ we are unable to do those things that we truly would like to do, and that is to obey the Lord and walk with Him. Sometimes people tell me this, and I've thought it before. Myself, I would like to be a Christian, but first of all, I want to see if I can do it. First of all, it's like driving a car. I want to drive a car before I buy it. I want to drive Christianity for a little while to see if I can do it before I really make the commitment to become a Christian. But it doesn't work that way. Without being a Christian, we're unable to do. We lack the things that we need to be able to do that which God would have us to do. We cannot live and walk according to the Spirit without being a Christian. And Paul is telling us that. "Now as a Christian," he says, "there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin." And so to walk with the Lord is to walk according to the Spirit. Now look in verse 3 again. "For what the law could not do, weak as it is, was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. O Master, let me walk with Thee." What does that mean? That means not to walk according to the flesh, but to walk according to the Spirit. We'll talk about that in just a moment. How do we know how to walk according to the Spirit? God has delivered those things to us in His Word. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, Paul says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And in verse 25, "If we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit." Well, notice that this changes our whole attitude of life. When we become a Christian, we have been baptized into Christ. We have been buried with Him. We're raised up with Him in newness of life to walk with Him now. Not as fleshly beings, but as spiritual beings. This changes our whole view of life. Romans chapter 8 now, verse 5. "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And so this is the change that comes about. We no longer are focused upon fleshly things. We're no longer centered. We're no longer trying to accomplish those things which are fleshly in our life. We're no longer trying to please the flesh. We're trying to please God. Therefore, we have a spiritual walk. Do we still live in this world? Of course we do. We already read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're living in the world and we're fleshly individuals, and we still have to do those things of the flesh that are required every day. Go to sleep, wake up, go to work, go to school, do all of these things, but that's not what we're focused on. That's not what is important to us in life. Yes, we do these things, and they're necessary for us to do, and God's give them to us for us to do, but that's not what we're focused on in life. We're focused on other things. Other things are important to us than these fleshly things. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13. Here the Apostle Paul, as he has made this journey from Romans chapter 7, wanting to do what is right but unable to do it as a sinner living under the law. And now as a Christian, he's able to do these things. "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity." Paul is saying, "I know how to be poor and I know how to be rich. I know how to have just the bare essentials of life, and I know how to have just more than I can even use. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret Brethren, we need to learn that secret. It's not something that you just baptize into Jesus Christ. You rise up in newness of life and you know all of this stuff. We have to learn the secret. You know, if we don't learn the secret, we're going to be miserable. We're not going to be the spiritual individuals we need to be. We're going to be those fleshly individuals. He learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. That's the secret we all need to learn. How is it I can be hungry and still be happy? How is it? Because I'm not focused on the physical, I'm focused on the spiritual. He says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that is a secret we need to learn. Third lesson on Sunday morning. First one was the power of God's Word. The second one was being positive in a negative world. And the third one is walking with God, walking with Jesus Christ. Not being focused on this earth. Not being focused on the fleshly. Be focused on the spiritual. Let that be your goal, the things you want to obtain in life. And everything, your whole attitude will change. If the spiritual life is good, then the physical life is good. Now I want to call your attention to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, and I want to illustrate this through this book. And of course, as the Apostle Paul does, he'll say one thing in one way to one group and the same thing pretty much in a different way. And it helps us to learn it as he says it both ways. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, "And in Him you've been made complete, and He is the head over all rule and authority." So in Christ Jesus we're complete. That we have all the things that we need, that we're satisfied, and we have all that God would have us to have. I want you to continue on here just a little bit. Verse 11. "And in Him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you are also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." So when we obey Jesus Christ, we're baptized into Christ, what is cut off? The fleshly man. The fleshly man is cut off, and now we must let the spiritual man live. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 46. It's all about our treasure. "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Is that our attitude toward our life with God? Is that our attitude toward our walk with the Lord? That this is our treasure. To take all and to sell it just to have this. Would we take all that we have and will we exchange it for a life with God? And then be happy when we're hungry. Be happy when we're poor. Be happy if we have nothing at all. And still be happy because we are the spiritual person the Lord wants us to be. Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls upon finding one pearl of great value." Do we look at our lives in Christ in this way? What is the most precious thing you have? Your life with the Lord. And do we look at it that way? If someone off the street or at work or at school were to ask you, what is the most important thing that you have? You say, my soul, my life with the Lord. What's most valuable to you? Would you say your family, your wife, or your children, or the things that you have? Or would you say it's my life with God? See, how do we look at it? And I'll tell you something, if we look at it the way the Lord teaches us to look at it, a great pearl of great value. And what does Jesus say? He's teaching us these things. He went and sold all that He had and bought it. That one thing. What was important to Him? That one thing. That was it. It's all about our treasure. It's all about what we consider to be valuable in life. Jesus says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's all about a treasure. What do we count to be our treasure? What do we consider to be the treasure of life? And if we have the right treasure, then we're not going to be walking according to the flesh. We're not going to be trying to please the flesh. We're not going to be concerned about fleshly things. We can, as the Apostle Paul teaches us and Solomon, to enjoy all that the Lord has given to us and to do good with it, but don't care about it. Care about one thing, and one thing only, and that is your soul and your life with the Lord. Luke chapter 6, verse 45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. It's all about a treasure. If our heart is right, then the things we're going to do are right. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. And then 1 Timothy 6, 18 and 19. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation. Now, is that the way we look at things? Is that the way we look at life? Is that our philosophy? Is that our paradigm? Is that the way that we live? That as I am walking in this life and doing the things God would have me to do and being generous and sharing with others, I'm storing up treasure in heaven? Do we look at it that way? Honestly, I really don't. And I need to. I need to be focused on the things of heaven and not the things of this earth. And to look at things in a spiritual light, not in a physical light. Not in a fleshly. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, the Apostle Paul is telling us, because this has occurred, because you are a Christian, the fleshly things have been cut off. Because you've raised up with Christ, because you're this new individual, because you're walking with the Lord and not according to the flesh, therefore, what does he say? If you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. Brethren, you know what? When we have so many problems in this life, we start getting down and we're negative and we're not positive about things, it's because we're not focused on spiritual things. That's the problem. So we let the physical things drag us down. We let those physical things just take over. We do not have the peace that surpasses all understanding. Who can have peace worried about the things on this earth? Nobody can. And so this is the secret Paul was talking about. Seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Now that's hard to do, isn't it? That's not easy to do. Paul will notice the scripture here in a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, 31 says, I die daily. This is not something we can do on Sunday and it's going to last us the rest of the week. This is not something we can occasionally do when we study it or we hear a lesson on it. We can't just occasionally do it. It is an everyday thing. It's the way that we live. We get up in the morning and we put our minds to those things. And that's the way that we live. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. If you were to get up tomorrow morning, someone says, what's your goal for the day? You may be like me. I've got a whole list of things I want to accomplish today. A lot of times it's written down. And I know what I want to get done. So you want to know what my goal is for the day? Let me get my piece of paper. I'll tell you what they are. That's the wrong way of looking at things. My foremost goal every day should be to be ready for the Lord to come. I ought to get up in the morning. I ought to be ready for that. I ought to expect it to happen. Because He comes as a thief in the night when men do not expect, and it may be today. And so that ought to be the way that I live. And I get up in the morning and live that way every day. Paul says, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Do you do that? Do you do that? I'll be real honest with you. I need to work on that. I need to work on that more. I do not get up every morning and recommit myself, and I need to do that. I need to do that. Especially when I have problems in life and when I'm focused here on earthly things, on fleshly things. What is the problem? I guarantee you, I've experienced it enough. I'm focused on fleshly things instead of heavenly things. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Can you say that? Yes, when we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we are buried with Him, we have died with Him, we rise up, we raise up with Him. Can we say, I have been crucified with Christ? What is the attitude that we would have being literally crucified with Christ, literally killing ourselves? Would you care anything about this world? Would you care about the world? Would you care about fleshly things? Literally being crucified, would you care about cars and houses and jobs and school and all of that? Would you care about it? What would be important to you? If you were laid upon the cross and the nails were pounded into your hands and to your feet, what would you care about? If you were the one being scourged, whipped to death, wondering if you're ever going to survive it, what would you care about? If you were the one who had the crown of thorns upon your head, as people were mocking you and shaming you and hitting you, what would you care about? Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What does Christ care about this world? Again, we're physical. We've already seen that, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We live in a physical world. We have to deal with these things. But is it what we're all wrapped up with? Are we just so concerned about these things that we're just so eat up with them? Paul says he learned the secret. What is the secret? Living like you're on a cross. That's the secret. And that's where we need to get to. To live every day like we're on a cross. The physical things don't matter. Fleshly things don't matter. Only one thing matters, and that's being with the Lord for eternity. That's all that matters. The Apostle Paul says, Galatians 5:24, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What is the problem that we have in this life? The passions and the desires are alive. When problems come, what is the problem? Every time it gets to this, the passions and the desires are alive. We need to kill them. Get them out of our life. We'll talk about how you do that. So, Alan, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. I want to do that. How do I do that? I'll show you in just a minute. Paul says, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me. The world has been crucified to me. Get that. The world has been crucified. You think about Jesus on a cross. We talked about you being on a cross. Now put the whole world on the cross. Think about the world. The whole world on a cross. What is Paul saying there? Did he care about the world? Fleshly things? He cared about people. He cared about Christians. He was living in a physical life. He had to eat like everybody else. He was happy when the brethren at Philippi sent him some sort of support, financial support, so he could have something to eat. He was very thankful for that. But the world had been crucified. It had been crucified. For him, did it live anymore? Not in this sense of speaking, it didn't. Were the things of the world important? Well, he enjoyed them indeed. We already read that from Philippians chapter 4. When he had an abundance, he enjoyed that. When he was hungry and poor, he didn't particularly enjoy it, but he had learned how to be content while living through it. But he had learned the secret. Crucify the world. You know, a car is a nice thing to have. But if it's crucified, it's really not that big a deal. A nice place to live is nice. It's a blessing from the Lord. It's enjoyable. But it's not that big a deal. It's not something we ought to get all tied up with, that we ought to get all distressed about it. Because my house isn't as good as somebody else's, or my car isn't as good as somebody else's. Or I don't have as much money as somebody else. Is that really what's important? It's not. You see, if we count it as being important, what is the problem? We've not crucified it. Crucify that car. Crucify that house. Crucify that money. So you don't care about it anymore. Don't care about it. It's not important to you. The Lord blesses you with it. You enjoy it. And that's great. And that's fine. But you don't care about it anymore. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. Okay, I want to do this. Yes, I'm a Christian. I've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. I've been buried with Him. I've been raised up a newness of life. Now, I want to take this step. I want to become this mature person that you're talking about. Not concerned about fleshly things. Enjoy them when you have them. If you don't have them, you don't worry about it. You're content either way you go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, Paul comes around to this, chapter 3 and verse 10. And have put on the new self. That's what we're talking about. In chapter 2, the fleshly man was cut off. There's a new self. Put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. This is how you do it. Go to the Bible, learn what God says, and apply it to your life, and you'll grow stronger every day. You'll become more mature every day. You'll become more spiritual every day. That world will be more and more and more crucified every day. You'll put yourself up on that cross and you'll crucify yourself every day. You die. So these things here upon the earth, God gives them to you. That's great. Praise Him for them. Glorify Him. Pray about it. Be thankful. Enjoy it. Do good with it. But don't care about it. That's the point. And how do we do that? We go to the Word of God. We let Him teach us. And we take these things. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Man, that's hard to do. Humble ourselves to say, yes, I'm not the person I need to be. Yes, I can grow. Yes, I need to work at it. Humble ourselves. Strip away all the pride. Say, Lord, change me with your word. Walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit's delivered the word of God. Walk according to the things that have been delivered here. Change your life day by day. Turn your Bibles with me over to Romans chapter 12. Sometimes in life, I don't know about yourself, but this is definitely true with me. I need something to sort of kick me out of my comfort zone. Danny Cox tells a story. He used to be a fighter pilot, jet planes. And he tells a story about, he's a businessman. He tells the story to help businessmen encourage to change in their business and what they're doing. He uses this story. He tells a story about when the jet planes first came, the fighter planes first came about, and they flew a lot faster than the propeller planes, and so the ejection seat had to be different, and it was a much more sophisticated process. And he says as pilots began to learn how to use these, there was a problem. They were flying much faster, and the ejection seat has to take off like a rocket. You've probably seen it on TV or something like that. And the problem was the pilots were scared to death. They were holding on to the seat. And the parachute couldn't open up because they were holding on to the seat. So they finally had to invent something to kick the pilot out of the seat. had got a little mesh there behind the pilot, and it was connected at the bottom of the seat and top of the seat. And after it ejected, it was sort of stretched out like this and just sort of gently pushed the pilot out of the seat. So the parachute could go off and he could land safely. And that's what we need sometimes. We need something to kick us out of the seat. Because we like the seat. The seat's comfortable. You know, it feels good. So we need something to sort of kick us out. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Tie that back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Renewing of your mind to a true knowledge. This renewal comes about from the study of God's Word and putting it into practice in our lives. And that's what kicks us out of the seat. To no longer be just the way that we are and the way we've always been, might have been a Christian for who knows how long, and not to be that way anymore, just go on and kick us out and go to the level we need to go to. And I don't know about you, but I need to be kicked out quite often. I need to be nudged so that I go on and take the next step. And what is it that gives us that nudge? What is it that kicks us out? What is it that gives us the push that we need? It is the Word of God. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Sacrifice. From the Old Testament. Sacrifice is something that was presented to God. And this is what Paul is saying. Present your body, your physical. Present yourself. Your whole self. And take it and say, God, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Remember that song? I love that song. Because that's what it's talking about. Take yourself and say, Lord, here is myself. We go to His Word. We say, make us, mold us the way you want us to be. Transform. Renew ourselves over and over and over again to be that good and acceptable sacrifice to God. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Mentioned this scripture last week. Paul says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. Everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And this is the power of God. I hope that every person here this morning says to themselves, I need to change. I need to become more of that person we've been talking about this morning. I need to become more of this spiritual person. I need to change the way that I'm thinking, the way that I'm acting. I need to change because it's true of every person here. Here is the power right here. This is it. You know, if this was in a bottle, I could sell it and make millions. Say, give me $1 million, I'll give you in a bottle the power that's going to change your life. It's going to totally transform it to be the person you want to be. And here God has said, it's free. It's yours. Just take it and use it. You'll become that spiritual man that you want to become. Live like you are walking with the Lord. Live like you're walking with the Lord. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified on our behalf. Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is sitting in the heavenly places. Walk in this life as if you're walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Spiritual person, not a fleshly person. Seeking the things above, not the things on the earth. Seeking to please God. Not your own passions and desires. And we'll be pleasing to God in everything that we do. We're going to extend the gospel invitation this morning. Trust and obey. And I guess I like this song. When the kids were little, we used to sing this song oftentimes in the bedroom as they were getting ready to go to bed and all those things. I was thinking about that the other day. I really miss that time together. They've grown up. They don't want to do that, and I don't blame them. I didn't want to do it when I was their age either. But I miss that time that we had together. And this is one of our favorite songs, Trust and Obey. And I like this song because it just sort of puts it all together in a nutshell. As we trust God, strip away that pride, humble ourselves under His mighty hand, and we just allow Him to change us as He's taught us in His Word. Just trust Him. Take a chance on God and obey Him. You'll become that person He wants you to become. If you're not a Christian this morning, simply believe and trust in Him. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Be willing to confess that He is the Son of God. And submit to being immersed in water, baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, buried with Him, raising up with Him, becoming that new person we've been talking about. If that be your desire, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing?